Father, we thank you so much for what you are doing in our midst. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would do a work in us this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit and through your word. You would work in our hearts today to conform us more into the image of your Son. Lord, be glorified here now as we give heed to your word. Speak to us. Give us hearts that are open, ready to receive, ears that are ready to hear from you. Lord, we ask these things because we love you and in the name of Jesus. Amen. The title of today's teaching is The Secret Things Belong to God. Here, chapters 29 and chapter 30, which we'll be going through today, is Moses' third address to the children of Israel while they're right at the border of the Promised Land. They're almost ready to go in. And in fact, in just a couple weeks, we'll be in Joshua. We'll see them go in and begin to take the land. And verse 1 in chapter 29 lets us know what Moses has taught them. And what he's about to say to them are the terms of Israel's covenant with God. And then Moses reminds them of all that God has done for them, and because of all that God has done for them, that they should obey the Lord. And then he also reminds them of the curses, you know, of both the blessings and the curses, that we saw some of those last week, and how that if they obey, man, God's going to bless them. And if they disobey, well, they're going to experience the curses. And that he shares in chapter 29 the fact that he does distinguish between the obedient and the disobedient. And then in verses 22 through 28, he prophesies that when their descendants turn from God, and they will, we know that happened, that God would remove them from the land, and the land itself would become desolate, and that even foreigners passing through would recognize that all of that was because Israel forsook their God. And then when we get to verse 29, it may seem out of place. It's kind of like all of a sudden Moses takes a hard right turn, and it's like, what? And we're on a different subject. But it's not. It's really not something different. It's something that Israel, at that time, just the same as we, as New Testament followers of Jesus, need to be reminded of. Let's go ahead and read verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So in briefly reading that, you see that there's actually three aspects to that verse. The secret things, the things that aren't secret, and why they're not secret. And first, let's look at the secret things. What are the secret things? The word secret there means to be concealed or hidden, kept secret. In other words, it means to not be able to know those things. They're not able to be known. Okay? So think about that. You cannot know them, all right? Because they're secret things. And it says they belong only to the Lord our God. Now, you think about, well, what kind of things are secret things? Well, one of the things that people always come up with that are, it's a secret basically, is, well, okay, God's eternal, right? Yeah. Well, then what did God do for eternity before he created the earth? I mean, you know, the earth's only been around for what? You know, the Bible says about 6,000 years, something like that. What did he do before that? And I forget who the old timer was that said it. I don't remember who was Spurgeon or whoever it was, but one of the old diamond dudes said, well, he whittled clubs to beat people over the head with. They would ask stupid questions like that. St. Augustine said, when somebody asked him that question, he said, quote, he was preparing hell for those who would pry into mysteries, which that's a mystery, right? That's a secret thing. Well, you know, we actually do know a few things about what God was doing before he created the material world. One of the things we know, based on Jesus' prayer in John 17, verse 5 and verse 24 let us know that through eternity past, before God created anything, you know, the material universe, that the Father shared his glory with the Son, and the Father loved the Son. That's pretty cool to know, right? So something was happening there, you know. There was a love going on there. Not only that, one of the other things that we know based upon Job 38, that he had already created the angels. The angelic beings were created because in Job 38, it tells us that when he created the universe, he created mankind and all that, the angels were actually there cheering him on. Yeah, go, God, go, you know. And one other thing that we know, and this is probably the coolest thing of all, okay? This is the most awesome thing that was happening in eternity past before he created the universe, before he created the physical world that we live in, and before he created mankind. One of the things that he did back in eternity past, according to Ephesians 1:4, he chose us. Isn't that cool? He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So, I mean, those are the only things. Other than that, we don't know. One of the other secret things that people want to know about, and you see this stupid stuff on the TV, the lost years of Jesus. What did Jesus do between he was 12 years old? Remember when he went to the temple there and had the big conversation with the theologians of that day? And 30 years old, when he started his public ministry, what did he do then? Well, nobody knows. It's one of those secret things. God has not seen fit to reveal it to us. You know what he wasn't doing then? The Bible tells us pretty clear. He wasn't sinning, right? Because he never sinned. That's how he could die in our place. But one other thing, and this is probably the biggest deal that Christians deal with these days, and that's the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. When will it happen? Can we, as believers, can we come up with some kind of biblical formula to figure that out? Can we do some kind of numerology thing and replace numbers for letters and letters for numbers and hold it up to the light in a certain way and read every third letter and, you know, skip a couple of words and then poof, you get this? No. That's one of those secret things. And people have been doing it forever. Gosh, I've been a Christian for 42 years. And it seems like every couple of years, something will come around. I remember back, the biggest thing was back in like 86, 87. A guy wrote a book, 88 Reasons for 88. How many of you guys remember that book? Okay, a few of you. And he made his case, man. He had 88 reasons why the rapture of the church would happen in 1988. And then when it didn't happen, you know what he did? He wrote another book, 89 Reasons for 1989. And people bought the book. I can't imagine, you know. It's really, you know, what P.T. Barnum said. There's a sucker born every minute. And people have been doing that. Cults have done that. And in fact, remember last fall? The rapture was supposed to happen last fall, right? And in fact, last month, what was it, supposed to be the 23rd of April? You know, we're not supposed to be here. In fact, we're not here, right? You know, it happened. It didn't happen. April 23rd, not. And why not? Because that information does not belong to us. It's not ours to have. Jesus said, Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You know, we might want to repeat that last part. But my Father only. Okay? That's pretty simple to understand, right? Only the Father. When Jesus, after he had been crucified, resurrected, before he ascended into heaven, just before he ascended, he met with the disciples and he was telling them, look, guys, don't leave Jerusalem. You hang out here and wait until you are endued with power from on high. Wait until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then you can leave. Then you can go out here, but hang around here. And it's going to happen not many days from now, Jesus told them. And instead of asking them, well, how's that going to happen, Lord? How's the Holy Spirit going to come upon us? Now, remember back in John 20, you breathed on us and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We received the Holy Spirit. And so that, but you know, what's this other thing? You know, how's this going to happen? No, they did what they had been doing the whole ministry time of Jesus, walking for 3.5 years on earth with him. They're off thinking about other stuff. In Acts 1, verse 6, it says, therefore, when they had come together, so they all came around him right then, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus, in verse 7, said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. See, it is not for you to know. I think we covered this a couple weeks ago on Wednesday nights, but I think that the Greek word behind that, it's not for you to know, is the Greek term nunya. It's none your business. That's what Jesus was telling them. It's none your business. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Father only. And it's just, you know, the whole time they were with him, so often Jesus was telling them, he was teaching them something super important, something that was being given to them. And they ignored that. And instead, they wanted to know about things that were not given to them. It's just like us. You know, we get off like that sometimes, but like us. See, In order to be able to do what God called them to do, they needed the empowering and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. But just like we so often do, we just want to ask questions about things that belong to God alone and not really dig into, well, what does this mean? How does this apply to me? And Lord, how can I please you in this and all that? See, we need to be where King David was. And I remember reading this a long time ago, probably 40 years ago. And I, you know, that's a good position to take. I think I will adopt that as my own. In Psalms 131, verse 1, David wrote, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. See, the secret things belong to God. They're too profound for us. They're none of our business. Why waste time trying to get something that doesn't belong to us? There's way too much stuff that does belong to us. You know that? Things that we should concern ourselves with. The things that are not secret. The things that haven't been hidden from us. As he says here in Deuteronomy 29, those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. See, there's so much that God has revealed to us. The things God has revealed belong to us. Think about it. Get that concept. They belong to us. They're ours for the taking. God has revealed to us in his word those things that belong to us. His word belongs to us. He's given it to us. He said, here, take it. It's yours. I've given this to you. That's all we got to do is receive it. Just take it. See, instead of chasing our tails, trying to get what doesn't belong to us, we should be diligently, enthusiastically trying to obtain all that does belong to us in Christ, all that has been given to us. Look what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding? Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Get that. Look at verse 6 again. For the Lord gives wisdom. See, that's something that he has offered to us, that he gives out to us, wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Well, what comes from his mouth? His words, right? His word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, if you've been here for a while, you know I've explained it a number of times. That phrase, given by inspiration of God, literally means breathed out by God. So we're being told there that all Scripture comes from the mouth of God. It's breathed out by God, and we can trust it. It's good for us. It's beneficial. From His mouth came the Bible. And folks, that means that in the Word of God, in the Bible, come knowledge and wisdom. Everything we need to know, God has been faithful to give to us. Do you know that? Everything. In fact, 1 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So understand that. Everything we need to live godly in this world, God has given to us. He's given us, at the moment of salvation, His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. He causes us to be born again. He gives us a new nature. And he comes upon us with the Holy Spirit to give us different gifts that we need. But He's given us His Word. He's given us His very Word so that we can know Him. We can know what pleases Him. We can know how to live right. Folks, everything that we need, we have. Everything He's given to us. And you know what? To say that He has not given what we need, to say, well, I need something else. And you know, really, whatever it is, whether it's human psychology or whether it's the secret things of God, the secret things, I need those. No, you don't. And when you really start thinking that, you know, what you're really doing is you're questioning God's character. You're questioning His very nature. Because He has said He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need. And in fact, Psalms 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." Do you believe that? Good. I hope so. Now, you know, in the New Testament, there's one word in the Greek for the words believe, trust, faith, you know, to have faith in, to rely upon, the word pisteo. And it's all the same word in the New Testament. Believing what God has said, folks, and trusting Him, relying upon Him that He has given to us all we need, folks, that brings blessings. Trusting Him like that. Look what the psalmist says in the very next verse in Psalms 84, 12. "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You." See, God won't withhold any good thing. Everything that we need, God gives to us. He's promised that. He gives us our needs, not our greeds, okay? He gives us what we need. He won't withhold anything beneficial, anything that is needed from those who follow Him. And folks, if we'll settle that in our hearts and in our minds and trust Him, rely upon Him, and trust what He has said, folks, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed in two different ways. We'll be blessed because we'll be pleasing Him, and God will be blessing us in that way, but we'll also be blessed in kind of a cause and effect relationship. See, God created us. He created the physical universe. He knows what works. And He knows what doesn't work. So when He says, do this and don't do that, you know what? He's God. He knows. And so if we'll do those things that He says do and stay away from the things He says don't do, that's bad for you, we'll be blessed because life will be going a whole lot better than if we're trying to kick against the goads, if we're trying to kick against what God has said, this is the way, walk in it. We'll be blessed. We've looked at the secret things and the things that are not secret. We've seen those things, But we haven't looked at that third aspect of that verse, verse 29. And folks, that is why those things God has given to us are not secret. Why he has revealed them to us. Okay? And God makes it very clear to them, to Israel, and to us, why he has revealed these things. Look at verse 29 again. Look at the very last part of it. That we may do all the words of this law. See, he's given to us all that is in his word that we would do it. Not just to win some kind of Bible trivia questions, you know. And not so we could store up all this Bible knowledge or whatever, but that we would practice living in a way that would both please the Lord and bless us at the same time. He's given his word for that. It's not enough to know what God says, but the blessings come when we do what he says. Jesus said that in John 13, verse 7. He said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You know, there's some other things that Jesus said. Hey, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? If you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, those are some pretty profound things. But it's making the point, though. It's not enough just to know what God says. We really need to be interested in doing it. We need to be putting it into practice. You know, the religious leaders of Jesus' day were guilty of knowing, but not doing God's word. And instead, they practiced man-made doctrines. And Jesus got on them about that several times. One of the times was in Mark 7. And let's look at verses 6 through 9. He, that's Jesus, answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. The washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. And understand this, folks, that because they rejected the word of God and followed their own man-made traditions and taught them as doctrines to live by, they missed their Messiah. They missed who God had sent to them to save them. These were the very ones that rejected Jesus because they rejected God's word. They wanted to do their own thing. They came up with their own little traditions. Now, they could quote much of Scripture, and you see them doing that, challenging Jesus sometimes by quoting Scripture. But when it came to applying the things of Scripture into their lives, they refused to obey God, and instead they made up their own rules. Jesus went on in this passage here in Matthew's or in Mark 7 and gave them a for instance. Look at verses 10 through 13 of Mark 7. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That's a good one for Mother's Day, right? Curse mom, you will die. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. See, if one of them had parents that were in need, they could get out of helping them by dedicating everything that they had to the Lord. It's korban. It's dedicated to the Lord. This was their tradition. Now, in their tradition, and this is bizarre, in their tradition, they could use that stuff themselves. Yeah, they could use it as long as they wanted to. But they couldn't sell it, and they couldn't let anybody else use it or have it. The only thing they could do is use it themselves, or they could take it to the temple treasury and give it to God. So if mom and dad had need, you say, hey, you mom, dad, you know, I know we got all this stuff over here, and I'd really like to help you. I really would. But I can't. It's korban. Sorry. You have to go someplace else. Looked real religious, but it was evil. And Jesus is busting them there for that. They were forsaking what God had given them to do. And as Moses says here in Deuteronomy, God gave us his word that we might do it. Well, a lot like the old Nike commercial, right? Just do it. That's a good thing, huh? I think we'd be really good, you know, on all the covers of our Bibles to put a sticker or just to write on there, just do it. No matter if it's uncomfortable, no matter if you don't like it. You know, it's kind of like when you're teaching your kids to eat vegetables, right? No, you can't have ice cream for every meal. You know, you've got to eat your greens. You've got to eat the spinach. You've got to eat the broccoli, all that. You don't have to like it. You just have to eat it, right? You don't have to like everything that God says do, but you know what? If you start doing it, you actually develop a taste for it. If you start doing what God says, you start seeing, wow, Father knows best. God really knows what he's talking about. Man, my life is going so much better now than when I was doing things on my own. But see, the thing is, it's in the doing of God's word that the blessings are realized. And that's not just Old Testament. Yeah, we're not under the law. But folks, you know, when we do God's word, that's really when things happen. That's when blessings happen. Philippians 4:9, after Paul tells them about, you know, taking, you know, only think about these kind of things and stop worrying, and instead, you know, with thanksgiving, prayer, supplication, and all that stuff. Verse 9, he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You see that? It's when we go to God's word, we read it, we understand it, and we do it, then we'll be blessed. And you know, something else Moses tells them here in this same address is that the law, what they were to do, wasn't really all that hard to understand. God had made it easy for them to comprehend. You're in chapter 29, go to the next chapter, chapter 30, and find verse 11. Let's read chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, the things that they needed to know in order to please the Lord, in order for them to be blessed, were given to them. God did not keep it a secret up in heaven. They didn't have to do the impossible to go up to heaven, you know, and get those things and then bring them to earth so they could do them. They didn't have to perform some great quest to go to another country overseas to receive them so they could please God and do them. They didn't have to do that. God had made it very easy. He gave Moses all that they needed to know, and Moses gave it all to the people. They could repeat the commands with their own lips, as he says. It's in your own mouth. And they could, and they did memorize much of the law by heart. God had done everything to make it as easy as possible to do the things that would please him and bless them in the doing of those things. And you know what, folks? God has done the same for us. In fact, it's now even easier for us to know and to do what pleases God. And when it comes to doing things that please God, maybe, you know, you've read the Bible and you see things like works, you know, the things that we do or don't do or whatever kind of thing. And some people actually think that you can be saved by doing good deeds, by doing good works. Well, there is the main work that we are to do that Jesus said in order to be saved. You know what that work is? John chapter 6, verse 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? In verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So that's the work we got to do, just believe. How easy is that, huh? And when it comes to believing on Jesus, to putting our faith in the one whom God sent, folks, God made it real easy. Paul the Apostle tells us that God made that so easy. In fact, he quoted some of this passage in Deuteronomy 30 that we just read, and he applies it to putting our faith in Christ. Romans chapter 10, most of you could probably quote this in verses 6 through 13. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Other translations word that, will not be disappointed. That's what that means. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just as God made sure Israel had what they needed, the Lord has made sure that we have what we need. And folks, we have a lot more than they had. We have both the Old Testament and the New Testament. See, we see the Old Testament prophecies fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament. We can see God's awesome plan of salvation for the Jews and for the whole world in the Word of God. He's given that to us. Those are the things that are revealed. We have the gospel, the good news. That's been revealed to us. See, the gospel is that we've all sinned, and even though we've all sinned, God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die in our place. And if we would put our faith in him and what he did for us, if we would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we would be saved. How easy is that, huh? How awesome is that? That if we would confess him with our mouth, and verbally admit, agree with God that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died for my sins. And if we'd believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, which means not only that he did in fact die on the cross, because you got to die before you could raise from the dead, right? But that he rose from the dead, meaning that he had power over sin and death, and that God was pleased with the sacrifice of his son. That if we would confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that, folks, we'd be saved. So much easier than the Israelites had it, huh? Than the Israelites had it. All those laws, you've been going with us since, let's say, Exodus, and then Leviticus, Numbers, now Deuteronomy. There have been a whole lot of laws, right? Aren't you glad we're not under the law? All we got to do is believe. But see, if we believe, it's going to change our life. Because with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. If we really believe that Jesus is who he is, it causes a change in the way we live. It causes us to say, hey, what would please my Lord? He's done so much for me. What would please him in this situation? Does he have anything to say in his word about this? How can I live, Lord, to please you? And it changes the way we live. The greatest command, Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We get that down. Hey, we're going to be living different. He said the second commandment is just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, he said about us, the way that others would know that we belong to him is our love for one another. We do those things, but we're gonna change the way we live. We're going to be pleasing the Lord. We're going to be blessing each other. And folks, instead of wasting our time chasing our tails over the things that do not belong to us, the secret things of God, may we be busy from here on out understanding all that is ours in Jesus Christ, the things that have been given to us. And you know what, folks? If we would do that, it'll take the rest of our lives. We will be plenty busy figuring all that stuff out, you know it? But it's been given to us. It's all in his word. Let's commit to do that, huh? Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you We thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you have given it to us that we could come to know you, that we could have a real personal relationship with you, and that we could live our lives in a way that please you. Lord, may we today just come to that place where we just trust you enough to leave the secret things alone and to concern ourselves only with the things that belong to us. And Father, also I pray that if there are those here this morning that you have spoken to, those that have never put their trust in you, never confessed you with their mouth and believed in their heart, and even those that have done that at some time and have walked away, and if they're here this morning, and Lord, I know that you have spoken to them. Lord, I pray that you continue, and you continue to open their hearts, and that they would come to that place of surrender to you this morning. Father, I pray for them right now, that right now, in the stillness of their hearts, they would cry out to you. They would confess their sin to you. They would invite you into their lives to be their Lord, to be their Savior. And Lord, that you would, in fact, fill them with your Spirit and help them to live for you from here on out. Father, please do that work in hearts to this morning. And Lord, cause all of us to live in such a way that we would please you. Because we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.